are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, October the 23rd, and a day of disasters in Detroit sports. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. It's Pistons season today, but man, tough to kind of talk yourself into this one today. We're going to go through the bad news today and also going to talk to Tony East of Locked On Pacers. Pistons better get familiar with the Pacers as they'll be seeing a lot of them in the first 2 weeks of the season. We're also going to hit the Google voicemail line, talk to Ryan from Green Bay and Tom from West Michigan looking for predictions and some thoughts from you guys. We'll play those the rest of the week. Got slots at the end of the show for you. So 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. The Google voicemail line, leave your name, leave your where you live, and also what your thoughts are for the Pistons season coming up. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and then check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But man, tough to gather it up for this one today. Pistons starting their season. It is like Christmas morning in some ways, but we all know about the Blake Griffin injury update, and not the worst news in the world, all things considered, but when you take it as a Detroit sports fans with all the other things that are going on in the Detroit sports world, real tough to get fired up for this one. But the Pistons do open the season tonight, 7 o'clock start in Indiana against the Pacers. The Pacers at home are favored by 7.5, more than a touchdown, largely because of the bad news today. Like we said, Blake Griffin not going to Indiana, has hamstring and posterior knee soreness, and according to the team, will be reevaluated in early November. So that's not just that's just reevaluated. That's not certainly coming back in early November or anything like that. And just to run down the schedule here, I'm counting 5 games in October and then games on November 1st and November 2nd. So, you know, even if he is reevaluated in quote-unquote early November, best case scenario, we're talking about, I would say, a minimum of 7 games that he's going to miss. Probably more realistically that we talk about 8, 9, 10 games when a little bit of a road trip to Indiana on November 8th, followed by the home game against Minnesota on November 11th, something like that. So 7 to 10 games, and that's assuming that the reevaluation goes well for Blake Griffin and the Pistons. But that's not all, as Sekou Doumbouya also reportedly on the concussion protocol, not going into Indiana as well. Markieff Morris, questionable for the opener with lower back tightness. And Reggie Jackson, probable for the opener with lower back tightness. So, geez, not a great start to the season for Pistons fans. Victor Oladipo, I guess the good news is that he's out for Indiana. But like I said, just a nightmare of a day for Detroit sports. The body blows just kept coming. Started with Franz Wagner, the broken wrist, out for 4 to 6 weeks for Michigan basketball. Michigan State basketball coming in, number one team in the country. Josh Langford going to be missing a lot of their season as well, out until January with his injuries. Kerryon Johnson had surgery. He's on an injured reserve, out at least 8 weeks, the running back for the Lions. The Lions gave the double gut punch, trading Quandre Diggs and a 7th pick for a 5th-round pick in next year's draft. One of the most popular players on the team. Jonathan Erickson released by the Wings. That's not a big deal. But the hits just kept on coming for Detroit sports fans. And I just thought this nugget was perfect for Sekou Doumbouya, according to Rod Beard, who was at practice talking to Dwayne Casey on Tuesday. Apparently, Doumbouya was hurt on Saturday at practice for the Pistons, banging his head into someone. But he found out that he had symptoms of a concussion on Sunday while he was at the Lions game, watching the damn Lions get picked apart by Michigan State's Kirk Cousins and the Vikings just crushing them. While that's happening, the future of Detroit sports in Sekou Doumbouya, in a lot of ways, getting a headache, finding out slowly that he's getting a concussion and his precious development will be slowed. Just kind of a perfect encapsulation of the crap sandwich that the Pistons fans and Detroit sports fans have had to eat. And, I mean, we can't over-exaggerate just how bad this era is right now for Detroit sports, and you can throw the Michigan football team into there, the Michigan State football team. And like I said, Michigan State basketball, kind of the only saving graces for this area right now, have debilitating injuries to start their seasons off. And I kind of felt it even before these bad few days when you had the Michigan loss to Penn State on that drop, the one time they did show some signs of life coming back at Penn State. And then you had the Lions just getting drubbed on Sunday. Coming off that Lions game, it's getting darker down here in Michigan. It's getting colder down here in Michigan. The days are getting shorter. Just a really depressing time of year right now when you start thinking about those things. But let's not do that right now. Let's move on. More importantly than Dumbuya's immediate status, knowing that he wasn't going to be a player right now as the Pistons try to move on. Got Blake Griffin on the bench, which means that Markieff Morris probably starts if he can play. Like we said, he's questionable. Maybe Thon McCurr if he is not able to go. I think you got to start Luke Kennard with Reggie or Derrick Rose if Reggie Jackson can't go. Ironically, a day after we talked about Kyrie Thomas staying, you might need a guy like him even earlier than you might thought with the depth situation that you have. Just an unreal turn of events for the Pistons. The Pistons team that we felt good about on this show, I know listening to you guys and your voicemails, felt collectively okay about. But like I said, just the timetable suggesting that we're talking about a few weeks for Blake Griffin, 7 to 10 games, something like that, with worst case scenarios obviously getting much worse than that. And then continuing on, Pistons back at home Thursday. We'll talk about the Hawks on tomorrow's show after we recap whatever happens tonight in Indiana. I've got a bad feeling about this game and the start to this season, which is supposed to be the strength of the Pistons season, given that they have the weak early schedule. And maybe that's some reason to be optimistic about the fact that Blake is out, and that the Pistons could maybe win some of these games even when he is out, given that there's some weak part of the schedule early on. And then we got Saturday coming at home against Philly, Monday against Indiana again. But, man, kind of a tough stomach punch for Pistons fans to swallow, along with Detroit sports fans. We're going to go through it. We're going to get through it together. We're going to hang together here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. We still got a show to do every day, and who knows? Maybe the Pistons come out playing well or inspired ball without their best player and get through this with something like a 500 record, maybe even a little more with Blake Griffin on the bench, and open him back with open arms and welcome him back into the lineup for a good stretch of basketball to come when he does make his season debut. But Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Again, that's Indochino.com, Indochino.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Up next, we're going to talk to Tony East of Locked On Pacers, as the Pistons fans got to get familiar with Indiana. Two of their first four games against the Pacers. So we'll talk to him. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by Tony East of Locked On Pacers, also of Forbes and the Fieldhouse as well. You can check out his writing there. Tony, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, it's almost like a playoff series with two games and the first four between the Pistons.
They play three times by November 8th. It's crazy how much they jump out of the gate.
And that's one of the things that Pistons fans found fortunate about the schedule with the Pacers injury situation. And we'll get into Victor Oladipo in a little while. But as we tape this on Monday night, a few hours removed from Sabonis getting the contract extension that turned into a little bit of a controversy, why don't you kind of, Tony, walk us through it and then the end result of the actual numbers?
Yeah, it came out of nowhere because last week The Athletic starts us off. Sam Amick reports the Pacers can't really find a common ground. They're looking to trade Sabonis, and they're talking to other teams. So that came as a shock because both parties seemed confident all summer that they would get an extension done, and then they weren't. I think the exact wording was that the two sides were far apart, which was interesting. And then ESPN comes out and says, $72 million that Miles Turner got the summer before won't even be a starter. It's a non-starter for Sabonis. So suddenly it seems like they're not close to an extension. Then at practice over the weekend, Sabonis comes in front of reporters. He says, I know how the organization feels about me now, and my agents will figure it out. And he just did not seem to be happy with how negotiations were going. And 4 o'clock rolls along, nothing's happened, 2 hours to go, and then bang, he agrees to a extension close to the number that was considered a non-starter with some bonuses. So it was so weird because I was really confident it was going to happen, and then over about 3 days, I went to about 10% chance it would happen, and then it did happen. So I should always stick with my gut, right? That's what I learned.
Absolutely. And like you said, Sabonis now locked in, and smart basketball teams know you can't put two bigs on the floor together. And of course, I say that tongue in cheek as the Locked On Pistons host, with the two best players being two big men here in Detroit. But how do you think that works with Sabonis and Miles Turner? That's probably the main question that people are asking about this team going into the season, right?
It always seems like it should work, right? You talk about their offensive skill sets. Sabonis can just contort his body into any position he wants to get to the basket. Turner can shoot. In theory, you have one act as the bruising inside guy and one as act as the perimeter guy. Bada bing, bada boom, that should work. So far, it hasn't really. You know, it's been fine. Not good, though. And, you know, sometimes they get in each other's way or they cut at the same time or just, you know, typical basketball things that don't work amongst guys that don't have a ton of chemistry. Going forward, you know, they both say, and this makes sense with anything, like more minutes will help them get better together. Sure. So hopefully they can iron out some of those differences because, again, it seems like it should work. The challenge for them comes on defense because neither of them are particularly good at defending away from the rim. And Sabonis will be tasked with that a lot this year. That's why I think it's funny that they play Blake Griffin in game one because, you know, Sabonis is already getting thrown into the hard situation that he'll have of guarding these fours who are super talented. So if he can learn to defend the perimeter, right, in theory, they should fit really well, but so far that hasn't really happened. So we'll have to see if more minutes helps them play better together.
Yeah. Interested to see how this works out in Indiana and if it's a long-term fit for those two, or if one becomes a trade option, two young players that a lot of teams would love to have as their own five. So we will see how it all shakes down. But when we talk about the Pacers this year, the number one storyline, and probably one that I'm assuming you don't have the inside scoop on right now, of course, is when Victor Oladipo makes his debut this year. As we mentioned, the early games for the Pistons against the Pacers is a good thing because you probably would rather have that than the springtime. But what's the latest on Oladipo?
He actually returned to 5-on-5 practice action this weekend. Saturday was his first time, I believe, playing more than one-on-one. That he said he's been doing one-on-one work That's the first time anyone had heard of it in his media time after that practice. But that was his first 5-on-5 runs. He said he felt good, but he only did it for 30 minutes, right? He's not in game shape or anything like that. He hasn't done a ton of contact and all that. So he's still probably a decent ways away. All summer, what we heard from Kevin Pritchard and Woj was a December, January timeline. And I think, you know, starting 5-on-5 now would agree with that. You know, he's a month away. A month from now is 10 days away from December. So I think he's still about 2 months out from returning to game action.
And so what else about the Pacers this year? Obviously a great season last year. It falls a little bit short in the playoffs, but a team that, you know, has the main players coming back, but did lose a couple guys that are familiar names, kind of cashed in my opinion, on the Warren situation in Phoenix as the opportunistic team that jumped in on that. But how do you kind of assess their offseason overall, and what should Pistons fans be looking at in terms of getting this team a couple times early?
It's actually kind of hard to assess their summer, right? So let me compare to the Pistons here. The Pistons, you know, got Tony Snell for next to nothing and improved their bench, right? They added Derrick Rose, who's better than Ish Smith. And, you know, it's obvious where their improvements are, right? Tony Snell fits in with their new starting five, and Derrick Rose is their new spark plug off the bench. With the Pacers, you can't just insert new guys into old team because they have 9 out of their 17 guys in their roster are brand new. So you don't know how these pieces fit together, how all these new guys are going to play on the court when they share the floor. So they're starting five from last year. You know, when Oladipo's back, it'll be two, but to start the year only returns one guy. So that it could look entirely different. The second unit could literally be 4 out of 5 new guys as well. So their rotation has just drastically changed from year to year. So it's hard to say, oh, they added TJ Warren. Now they'll have the score they didn't have last year. It's like, well, how does he fit with Brogdon, who he's never played with, and Jeremy Lamb, who he's never played with? And now they have two centers instead of Thaddeus Young, and their second unit's got a ton of youth in it. So it's kind of hard to look at their summer and say, oh, here's the new thing to watch for them. It's kind of going to have to be, okay, what do we see in the first 5 to 10 games? And how does that project forward with all these new guys and their fit together?
Yeah, and you mentioned Malcolm Brogdon, a guy that everyone around the league likes, and I'm sure Indiana fans are excited to see what he does kind of with the ball in his hands. Is he going to be basically the starting lead guard, especially with Victor Oladipo out for a while?
Yeah, that was actually one of the more surprising things I heard all summer. So at Media Day, the first thing I wanted to ask Brogdon was basically like, hey, you know, you're playing point guard now. You didn't play point guard at all. You were with Giannis all this time. Like, can you handle it? And he basically said, yeah, I'm actually more comfortable playing point guard than how I previously played. So in theory, he thinks that he'll be better this way. And, you know, he's a low turnover guy, or he has been historically. Now his usage is going to go way up. He's going to have the ball way more. But if he can keep that turnover number down, you know, he had, in the first preseason game, that's the only game he played a ton of minutes in the preseason, he had 14 assists. So he's proving it with his play more than his words. But I think he's comfortable with the point guard spot. He seems to think he's actually better there. And he's not like a primary initiator that you would think of when you think of, you know, your whatever, James Harden, not that level, but that type of guy who can break down a D. But he's good at you know, getting to a spot and setting someone else up. So I think he will be good in the point guard spot, but we'll have to see over the course of all season if that holds up.
Well, I applaud a front office like Kevin Pritchard's doing that sees that you have a really good team, but you're willing to make some bold moves to tweak it around and make it better. And like I said, there might be a step back in the first half of this season, especially with Oladipo out. They might not have the great regular season that they had last year. But I think that it should be noted when teams are willing to cut ties with the Thad Youngs of the world and let them walk away and bring in some bold trades with a Brogdon type coming in. So, I mean, is that how you kind of see it, that it's possible that the Pacers fall maybe to the bottom of the playoff seeds here in the grand scheme of things, but they might be better off in the long run in terms of being a team that could get to the NBA Finals at some point?
Yeah, it's probably likely they fall, right? Like last year, they were basically a 500 team. I think they were one game under 500 without Oladipo. And maybe you could say they improved their roster around him, but they don't, you know, we haven't seen him play together, like I said. So, you know, there's going to be some growing pains. By the time they figure it out, he'll be back. But, you know, 500, I think, is a reasonable expectation without him. But if he misses, whatever, 20 games to start the year and then, you know, load management will come in for a gruesome injury like that. So he'll probably miss 30. To 40 games this year, even if they're 500 for those games, it's really hard to imagine them winning more than maybe 46 games this season. So I don't think they'll move up in the standings, that's for sure. And they're already in the bottom half of the playoff chase. I don't think they'll fall out of the playoffs, especially with Oladipo. And they'll clearly be better suited for the playoffs in the regular season with health. But I think you're right to assume that they will fall ever so slightly in the standings and in the win column.
I actually had him at number four in my standings.
Wow.
And that's just because I just thought that between 3 and 10, we're talking
could be
about
anybody.
Like,
it really
game,
could be,
like a game here, a game there. Not like last year's kind of 3 and 4. I can, you know, obviously we all kind of agree on the top two, but after that, you're going to be kind of splitting hairs. I don't like any of those teams a lot early going into this season. But I think the East got worse.
I think that matters a ton in Pacers Pistons in particular, that they play them four times or three or whatever without Oladipo, right? Banking mm-hmm. those two wins could be just huge in separating out those teams.
Yeah, and of course the Pistons got their own injury worries coming into the season and then going into looking at the long term too. And of course I think the Oladipo injury, when he comes back and what he looks like when he gets back, is probably the difference between this being a Detroit Pistons level type of team and the Pacers that we've come to expect, that could be, you know, a team that could make some noise come playoff time.
Yeah, I agree with you there. He always says, his saying is, I'd rather show you than tell you, with how good he'll be when he comes back, which is pretty cool. He is convinced that he will be better than he was before. Now, obviously, we've seen the limitations of the human body and know that that's probably not true. But Vic's not one to be a liar, and he's really convinced that like his mental state and physical state will be better when he returns. I don't know if I believe him. We'll see.
Let's get it on tonight in Indiana with the Pacers and the Pistons, and then Monday night back in Detroit, and then shortly after that, another one, Tony East of Locked On Pacers and all these other places on the internet. T East NBA is the Twitter handle. Tony, as always, thanks for taking the time, and we will talk to you real soon down the road.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be chatting a lot this month, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Matt. Ryan from Green Bay calling again. Just wanted to give a prediction for the season for the Pistons. I'm going to start with a soft prediction, more realistic, that they get the sixth seed somewhere between 42 and 45 wins. I think they're better than they were last year, better depth. and longer. So that's my soft. My bold prediction is that I think this is the last year we'll see Griffin and Drummond together as Pistons. I just don't know how much they fit together. I feel like Andre Drummond, he needs someone more of an elite point guard, playmaking, to be paired with that really can handle the pick and roll. And Griffin needs space. So I agree with the caller from Florida. I think that depending on how the season turns out, the start of it will show what direction the Pistons need to go. They could end up trying to trade. I would love to see them get Bradley Beal. That's a long shot. But if they ended up getting Bradley Beal, going for it this year, I'd like to see him get Marc Gasol. I think that he's a better fit with Griffin than Drummond is. On the other end, I could see them trade Griffin this year. What? I heard your thoughts on Portland as far as trying to get Zach Collins and Simon. What about Denver? I heard last year Denver was kind of a place, and they also have a ton of talent on their roster, Monte Morris, a Bol Bol, or a Porter Jr. Do you think that that would be a direction the Pistons could go? Because it would be kind of neat. You talked about getting length on the team. That's the way it sounds like they want to get more people with length. Otto Porter Jr. would be perfect. You know, he has health concerns.
Yes, sir!
Hey, Matt, this is Tom from West Michigan, just outside of Grand Rapids. I'm real excited about the Pistons team this year. I think their record is going to be somewhere between 41 wins and definitely under 50 wins. I don't know if they can make it to 50 wins. They'll definitely make the playoffs. I think they're better than they were last year. I love the addition of Markieff Morris and Christian Wood to replace guys like Zaza and Jose. We're real deep at point guard this year as well. So I can see them maybe becoming a 5 seed, maybe a 4 seed. I don't know if they're to Boston caliber yet, but they're definitely better than they were last year. And my hot take this year is I do not see the Lake Show, the Lakers, making the playoffs this year. The Western Conference is way too deep. I can name 8 teams right now that are better than they are. My reasoning for that is LeBron and his team did not make the playoffs last year. Sure, they have a better team this year, but Anthony Davis and his team did not make the playoffs last year either. He had a superstar in Drew Holiday, basically. My reasoning is that they're not going to be able to stay healthy. I see tons of teams in the Western Conference better than the Lakers this year. You know, starting with the Blazers, ending with maybe Sacramento. The Mavericks might even give them a run for their money. But I don't see them as, just because they have Anthony Davis and LeBron James, being inside the top 8 teams in that conference.
Thanks to Ryan from Green Bay and Tom from West Michigan for the calls. A couple of intriguing ideas there. We've covered some of those trade discussions, and we will cover them and continue to cover them. But let's kind of see what happens here on the floor for the beginning of the season here with Blake Griffin, especially being the most important thing that the Pistons fans and Pistons Nation has to figure out in terms of his health and how this season is going to start. But I appreciate those guys sending along some thoughts, some suggestions, and some predictions for the season ahead as well, which gets going tonight. Finally, we have NBA basketball coming ahead. And for the Locked On Pistons podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, it's an exciting time. We got the national shows you should be checking out. Locked On NBA, of course, Rejecting the Screen with those guys, Adam and Noah, and then John Hollinger and Nate Duncan once a week with the amazing insight of those guys. And give us a rating and review on iTunes. You know that helps us kind of stand out from the crowd with the other sports and Pistons podcasts out there. And took a hit with some of the ratings with some of the D Rose people out there that don't like me not serving up D Rose with more love right away. But we'll see how that goes and if he deserves it. And we'll see how he goes as kind of the captain of the Pistons bench and maybe taking on a bigger role as time goes on, whether that be necessity or whether he proves it early on in the season. But thanks again to Tony East for joining us from the Locked On Pacers podcast. We're talking recap in the opener, looking ahead to the Hawks tomorrow. A lot of stuff going on here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. And I want to thank you guys for listening and enjoying the show, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Enjoy Pistons basketball tonight. It's opening day, and hey, try to get a hop in your step despite the discouraging news, and hopefully the Pistons can get a win in the opener. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.